business.
Hello? We go out, we hit people in the mouth.
You play to win the game.
Next fan up.
I want winners.
Featuring Pod Vader and the super fans.
But they are who we thought they were.
Hello, everybody. Welcome. This is Next Fan Up. My name is Mark Sitko. I am your host tonight. We are recapping the games of preseason week three. I have here with me tonight Rob Kohler, who is the super fan for the Browns. How are you doing, Rob?
Good, Mark. How you doing?
Doing good, man. Doing good. I'm in Los Angeles, and it is really hot here. But other than that, it is great. I had an awesome, we'll get to this eventually, but the Eagles had an amazing game yesterday, so I'm excited to talk about that. Speaking of Eagles, I also have a fellow Eagles fan here from Gal Pal, the Sports Gal Pal, Ramona Rice. How are you doing?
I am great. I'm in the walk-in closet studio surrounded by my Eagles jerseys, wearing my UVA hoodie to keep Rob's evil UCLA influence off of me as our college teams play each other next week.
Nice. So wait, who is your team? I don't know anything about college ball. Who do you follow, Ramona?
Oh, I'm a graduate of University of Virginia. We're terrible. We will not win. But I will still support my team because it's my alma mater, and college basketball can't start soon enough. So there you go.
Nice. Great, guys. Thank you guys so much for joining me. I really appreciate it, even though you are college rivals. Yes, we're going to be going over the games. We'll start from Thursday. We'll work our way all the way up to the games that are going on right now while we're recording. It is Arizona-Oakland, a game that, from what I've heard, this is one of the games that Kohler had to look over. He was saying that this game looks pretty ugly. So we'll see when we get to that game at the end of this podcast. Thank you guys for being here with us. We really appreciate it. If you want to follow us, you can follow us at NFU Podcast on Twitter, or if you can just go to Facebook, type in Next Fan Up, you will find us. We are the podcast by the fans for the fans. The basic bit is that there are 32 of us, actually 33 with Pod Vader, who is our fearless producer. But there's 32 others of us who are each assigned a team, whoever our passionate favorite teams have been our entire lives. And we are here to like give you special perspective, and depth is really what we offer, I think. We know more about our teams than any of these talking heads that are on ESPN and on NFL Network. I mean, like, yeah, really, I'm sure all of us have that frustration as we watch, and they can't say anything more than you would have read in headlines in ESPN. We try to go deeper than that. To start tonight, I'm going to be kicking off this first game. We were looking at New England, Carolina. I was actually surprised because given that New England was playing Carolina, and I don't have much expectations for Carolina this year, I thought New England would look much better than they did. Brady had a couple like three and outs. The Panthers D, I mean, I don't know myself. I wish we had the super fan here to answer to that. I don't know how strong the Panthers D is. I don't expect them to dominate Brady and his offense, but they were shutting them down quite a lot. They allowed a big punt return. They did have a nice third down stop and a nice fourth down stop that did. I don't know why the Panthers did that against Belichick. That's not usually going to work. They stop you at third and one, then you're like, oh, let's line up and try that again. It's like, no, that's not going to happen. I do have to say the pass D was holding up. The problem is when you're looking at the Pats D, is Carolina's offense really a test for them? Without Revis, I'm very curious how that defense is going to play. But, you know, is Carolina and that total lack of wide receivers any kind of real test for that? There was a lot of Brady scrambling that was really interesting. He had to run out of a pocket multiple times, which gives me the impression that it was like kind of a coverage situation. He wasn't able to get anyone open. And I would assume Brady's the kind of quarterback, I mean, he's one of the best ever, that he sees the open man. So, you know, we can't see downfield from the typical TV angle. I haven't been able to watch all 22 on these games. That's coming out later this week. But, I don't know if the receivers were just blocked up and why he was running it, but he ran and scrambled multiple times, which I just think is interesting in a preseason game to see that. There was the best play that I saw was this crazy rolling interception. Brady threw a beautiful pass downfield. The ball was caught, and as they went to the ground, Tillman ripped the ball from the receiver. Really just one of those plays where you're like, yeah, he wanted it more. He got up and had almost like a punt return, but in reality they had obviously been tussling, so he had been touched as he went down. But that was really all I saw in this game. I didn't watch any of these games. Just to be clear, guys, I think we're not going to go deeper than starters in any of these games. when we want to talk about second, third string guys and bubble players, that's really going to be the next week's podcast as we get to week four. But yeah, Ramona and Rob, do you guys have any comments for the New England Carolina game?
I'd be really concerned if I'm a New England Patriots fan that Brady looks so uncomfortable with his offensive weapons right now. Because given the fact that as of right now, he's not going to play the first four games. So you're already uncomfortable. He's not going to probably play next week. He's just not. Here's what I would be fearing. You know, those 4 weeks off, really 5 weeks because there's the bye week also. I think that's critical. I granted that he's a great quarterback and obviously Belichick is a great coach, but just the sheer fact that Carolina's defense is not good. So this is not a true test, and they're going to be facing much tougher defenses with the Dolphins, with the addition of Sue, and then the Jets defense with, Revis and Cromartie. I just don't see how they recover from this as of this point.
I think that a lot of these defenses have started to see what, some of these other people have seen, that Brady can't throw farther than 15 yards with any accuracy, and they're playing press coverage on him, and then you really can't get anything going. I think that's why you saw him scramble a lot. We're going to get to it as well, but I think you're starting to see that with Peyton Manning too. I think if you get to age, your arm just can't accurately hit people over, a farther amount of distance.
Well. So I know obviously Patrick, our super fan for the Patriots and Pod Vader, will not like to hear these things, but I'm very curious to hear what they say. It's interesting because last year they had such a slow start, and obviously they go on to win the Super Bowl. We will see. But I really think, and I've said this before on this podcast, losing Revis cannot be understated, cannot be overstated, I should say. That is a major loss. I think that him and DeMarco Murray are the two players that the teams are going to miss the most of departures from this offseason. Rob, moving on to Detroit-Jacksonville. What did you think about that game?
Well, I found it was pretty interesting. Golden Tate looks at, mid-season form right now. He had two long balls and two touchdowns. Seattle right now is probably really, really missing him because he's a huge weapon for them that they could still have if they had decided to keep him. The other thing that was really interesting to watch, because I don't get to see a lot of Jacksonville games, Blake Bortles, he looked like an NFL QB. He was staying in the pocket. He looked really good. He had a solid outing. I think he was like 20 of 24 for almost 245 yards. So he looked pretty good. And so if I was a Jacksonville fan, I'd be pretty excited for him just, the second year and see how much he can grow.
Yeah, I'm excited to see with him with Jacksonville. I really like Gus. I like that team. I want to see them do well. It's a perfect underdog team to root for. So hopefully they will do well. Do you have any thoughts, Ramona, on that game?
Yeah, I was kind of thinking as I was watching some highlights of it and getting ready for this podcast, is that how much better would that team be if they had their first-round pick, Dante Fowler? I mean, I feel like that's just going to be a real miss this year. I feel like Blake Bortles with the right system can be a really good quality NFL quarterback, maybe not top tier, but certainly anything better than they've had in the past. And I completely agree with Rob that Golden Tate, my God, the Lions look like the smartest team right now for picking up. They've got some great offensive weapons that they've picked up. They look really solid. I love them, particularly as Green Bay is facing issues and we're not certain about Minnesota's defense yet. I really look to the Lions as leading that division this year.
Yeah, that would be – I often don't understand why the Lions don't fully come together. They have everything they need. I agree with you. I think they could be a great candidate to take over that division. In the Tennessee-Kansas City game, the KC superfan writes in, and his big points are that they really got rolling finally. They've been pushed around a little bit in the last two games, but Andy kind of got everything going. He was very pleased with that. Alex Smith, when he left the game, was up 17-0. Again, they're playing Tennessee, similar to New England game. It's like, yes, it's good to beat up on the weaker teams, but is this a real test for them? I think KC will be decent this year, and they're in a very good division for them to kind of take control of, right? Oakland may be up and coming, but, I think that they have a good chance of taking the division. I'm not saying it's a pushover division. I'm just saying I think that they are definitely one of the contenders, and they'll play pretty well. The KC superfan wanted to point out that two of the offensive line were missing, and they still look solid. Tennessee, to be honest, the superfan didn't write in, and I watched a bit of the game, but there was not enough for me to really care or to talk about. That's it, superfan. If you want your team talked about, write about them. That's not my job to watch Tennessee. Oh, man, harsh, but true. So, yeah, Ramona, do you have any thoughts on that game? Tennessee, KC, any of those guys interesting to you?
Yeah, a couple. Macklin looked great, but, you know, that's the Eagles' influence, I think, because I'm going to be biased, and I know Mark completely agrees with me. He looked really good. And, again, he's comfortable in that Andy Reid offense. I mean, yeah, I love him very much, and I miss him. But I will say, you know, again, with Mariota, he has to move around a lot to get any kind of movement at all in the offense, and that scares me to death. If I'm a Titans fan, I do not want my quarterback moving around that much. Injury, that opens him up to just – he should not have to work that hard to get the ball down the field, and they need to get that kid some weapons fast, or it's not going to work.
Yeah. Oh, man, how nice would it have been to see if he could have made it into our offense? I would have really liked to see Mariota. I like that kid a lot. And he's impressed me so far in the preseason. Yeah, I think he's playing pretty well. Rob, do you have any thoughts on these two teams?
Yeah, I just want to say your boy Jeremy Maclin is the first Kansas City wide receiver to catch a touchdown since December of 2013. So, you know, Alex Smith is still the same Alex Smith. 16 completions, 171 yards. He's throwing it 5 yards down the field and then just hoping people can, you know, run around. So, I'd be worried if I'm Kansas City. They have a good defense, but, Alex Smith is only going to take you so far. So.
Yeah, it's very, game managery and all that. And
yeah,
man, I mean, Maclin is great, but I don't know if he's enough to carry a whole team. He's a great receiver, there is no question, but that's a lot to put on him. And I just wish he'd stayed in Philly. I mean, God, I don't understand. I really wish I understood. The only thing I can think is that he didn't want to work as hard as Chip is asking these older guys to work. Because, yes, all the players to work that hard. But I see that as players get older, they're not as into it. And he can go there and he's going to make big money, $11 million a year, and play for a good coach. And he's great. And they do have a shot. They could be strong in that division, like I said. But, oh, man, Maclin, please stay.
He's from Kansas City, or he's from Missouri.
No, exactly.
I think some of that
it was like a
match
made in heaven.
Yeah,
former coach, you know.
Well, and then Andy Reid, he's already comfortable with him.
Right.
Yeah, and he's already comfortable with Andy Reid. I mean, it was a good move for him career-wise, but I agree. I just think that, I don't think Alex Smith is going to get them that far. And I'm still kind of curious of why Andy hasn't made moves to move Alex out of there and get a quarterback that he can really work with, because we've seen what happens when he does have a good quarterback, what can happen with an Andy Reid team.
What's interesting there is we never saw Andy Reid, though, with the Eagles. He came in and got McNabb. And then when McNabb failed, he couldn't find someone else, which I'm not saying that's easy. It's very hard in the NFL to find another quarterback. But my point is, so far, Andy has not proven he can find a quarterback. Like, that's not his skill. And he may realize that. He may realize, like, look, I was never able to get better than McNabb. McNabb wasn't amazing. Like, McNabb wasn't Aaron Rodgers, but he was serviceable, and he was even above that. And I think Alex is maybe a little less than McNabb, but also serviceable. And I really think Andy's the kind of guy who believes in his system, and it does work, obviously, he still puts up yards. He's a very good coach. He makes great calls. But I mean, I would, at this point, this is like I'm saying with Maclin, just like Jeffrey Lurie, I would bet on Chip before I'd bet on Andy at this point to win a Super Bowl. Pittsburgh and Buffalo. What did you think, Kohler? How'd that game go?
This was a crazy game. So Buffalo won 43-19, and Pittsburgh, everyone's talking about their offense, how great it is, but I think they're forgetting how bad this defense is. Oh, my gosh. Every single quarterback, and they can't even decide in Buffalo what quarterback to choose, every single quarterback that came in just torched Pittsburgh, torched them. E.J. Manuel looked like, he looked like, Tom Brady out there. He was 7 of 8, and he had two long touchdowns. And right off the bat, I think the first 4 drives, Buffalo scored on him. So Buffalo, not known for their offense, looked pretty good. But, again, I think it's because Pittsburgh defense is so bad. And then the other thing that I find interesting is Fred Jackson is starting at running back for the Buffalo Bills. That guy, he's got to have some kind of voodoo doll where he is taking out every running back in front of him. Every year he's the second or third string guy, and every year he starts the season as the starting running back. He's unbelievable. I mean, for fantasy guys, just pick him up in the 25th round or whatever. He's going to start the season no matter what. It is crazy.
Oh, I love it. I love it. Shady, getting the voodoo doll treatment. Love it. Love it.
Yeah.
What did you think, Ramona? Did you see any of this game? Do you have any thoughts?
Yeah, I've publicly declared that I think that the Steelers could win the AFC, and I'm starting to regret that after seeing their lack of defense because, you know, Ben Roethlisberger can only throw so much. There's only, especially in the division, again, I will argue, and I'm sure Rob agrees with me, the AFC North is the toughest division in football right now. It is so hard to win in that division. Every team's competitive. And unless the Steelers can figure out their defense, which is so surprising to me the last couple of years, that it's a team where it's so offense-driven now, where, you know, it's been known as the Steel Curtain and great defenses. And I'm going, what happened? Because these three quarterbacks that played for Buffalo looked fantastic. I'm like, they made Tyrod Taylor look amazing. And I've seen Tyrod Taylor, you know, from freaking college. He's not that good. He really isn't. So, you know, the other thing that was interesting was I'm kind of curious about, again, can this, you know, it almost feels like Rex is going to do a quarterback by committee system, which never works. It never works in college. It does not work in the NFL. So I'm still wondering who is going to be that main guy in Buffalo, you know, and I think that consistency is going to be important. You know, I don't worry about the defense at all for Rex. That's great. He'll always have that. But offensively, you know, he's done this before. You know, we saw it in the Jets and other things. It's like, what you doing? Pick a guy. Let's work with the guy. Let's do that. So,
and I just have a quick question for you, Ramona. You probably saw this, but Martavius Bryant, he looks unstoppable. So he played on the same team with DeAndre Hopkins and Sammy Watkins at Clemson. How did they not score 228 points a game? That is
unbelievable. I don't know. ACC football is weird. I'm just going to flat out say it. ACC football is weird. But I will say this, again, and this is another thing about Steelers, is that a lot of your offensive weapons are going to be suspended for good portions of this year. You know, Le'Veon Bell is missing, what, two games? Now Brian is, what, four games for drug violations?
Games.
I'm like, four. And that's huge. That's huge. I'm going, geez, Tomlin, what's going on with your team where we're getting all this, you know, suspensions for drugs? I'm going, get your guys locked down.
The super fan for Pittsburgh today was getting in a beef on Slack. They were giving him trouble for claims that his offense would be like amazing and top offense in the league this year. It was interesting. I don't think that
he
is necessarily
so
true. Although they have
I think it could be. I think that if, you know, again, he's got one of the best wide receivers in Brown. You know, Le'Veon Bell's impact within this team cannot be sold any much, but they're not a deep team. So if you get any injuries, I mean, you know, like Michael Vick looked okay playing, but when your backup's Michael Vick, I'm concerned for your team. I'm going to say it. So, Steelers fans, pray that Big Ben does not go down.
For sure, for sure. And we did earlier, we did a podcast where we were arguing who had the best, what we call the triplet in the NFL, which was a great quarterback, a great receiver, and a great running back. And they were arguably the top one or two teams just because of having Roethlisberger, having Antonio Brown, and then having Bell. I mean, that is just, it is a great team. But I think they're a perfect example of a team that has those three, and then there's a lot of other holes, especially that defense. It'll be interesting with them. Moving on now to Minnesota and Dallas. This game, again, I mean, I am an Eagles fan. I despise Dallas. So watching it is, you know, I'm watching it through a certain colored glass. But the best offensive line in the NFL, gave up a big old sack on the first, you know, three plays. Luckily, they had a defensive holding in the back behind that, so they were able to get the first down and keep the drive going. But they would have been, like, real quick into a three and out because the run was running right up to the line and then just getting stopped. So maybe they're blocking real well, but they're not pushing. They're not getting to the second level. They're not doing the things that my offensive line will be doing. The run was going nowhere all game. They were getting stopped regularly. Beasley had a punt return that was just pathetic. That dude is not fast. He does not get the edge. People are just going to grab him by the little golden locks and drag him to the ground. They gave up a really long pass without Skandrick. I think that secondary is really questionable. I do have to say Romo had a beautiful long pass. Williams came across the middle. He hit him perfectly. Romo is not the problem. Romo's a great player. I think he's going to be doing great. But Minnesota, I was having faith for Minnesota. Does anybody know why Adrian Peterson is not playing? Why has he not played yet?
They're just resting him. I think they know what he can bring and that, you know, his nickname is AD for all day. So he can do that, and I don't think that they want to risk him in this preseason.
Wow.
I think they're just working him out. But, yeah, I would have thought for sure they would have at least gotten him in for a couple plays just to get the rust off. He's been out for a full year.
And also just to help Teddy, right? You know what I mean? That's what it looked like. It's like watching this quarterback who's looking great. Teddy, I have a lot of faith in. I like him a lot. I'd love to have him in the Eagles offense. I think Chip would do a lot of fun things with Teddy. But watching him play, and it's like he has nowhere to really throw the ball. When he hands the ball off, the run's not going anywhere. It's like, dude, help him out. Like, give him the best running back in the league or one of the best running backs, and let's see if he can just dominate and get down the field.
Some of it, they might not want to get any tape out there on it, and so you're just kind of throwing some stuff out that you don't want to show.
Yeah, but he's been in the league for how many years now? I don't think there's any surprises for what they're going to do with Teddy and Adrian Peterson. I mean, come on, and he's going to get double coverage because he's Adrian Peterson. So I don't see how that would influence. I mean,
yeah.
I agree with you. He's been out a year. The guy needs to play a couple snaps, just a few, just to make sure. Hey, okay, it works great. Let's go. You know, I mean, I don't understand. Can we also talk about the whole like running back by committee thing that Dallas is doing? I mean, I get it. You know, they got to place Murray. And according to the Dallas Superfan on my preview, you know, he claims that it was the O-line that made DeMarco Murray so great, which I laughed. And many Eagles fans have written to me going, boy, he's delusional. I'm like, I know, it's kind of fun, isn't it? But, you know, I just am like, there's no way that these three running backs are going to equal Murray, number one. They're gonna see that, you know, in the coming weeks, like how much Murray – they should have just forked out the money to get him. I'm glad they didn't because I'm so glad he's on my team. But, you know, I don't see how this running back by committee thing is working for Dallas. And Dez Bryant can only catch the ball so often. So, and Tony, I would be really concerned. The surgical back, you know, can he make it through the season without that being injured? Because that was a big problem for them getting further into the playoffs.
Yeah, and with those sacks, he took several hits in this game. One of them, he had a real off throw down the field, and he took just an open, you know, somebody just slamming him, and you're just like, we'll see how long that goes. That super offensive line gave up way more sacks. They may have been a great running offensive line, but I've said this before, and I'll say it again, they are not a great pass protecting line, and they gave up a lot of sacks last year. Romo's going to have more of that this year, especially because of Romo's style of play, you know, which is awesome. He holds on to it. He's tough. And he thinks he can make a play no matter what. He's like kind of has a little Brett Favre in him, and I appreciate that. So love watching him get slammed. And Fletcher Cox and Graham and, Barwin. Oh, it's going to be a feast. It's interesting. We were talking – a lot of people are getting a lot of hubris right now. It's like as we watch the third game, if your team has done really well in preseason, people are starting to predict Super Bowl. And I'm very hesitant. The super fan for the Dallas Cowboys is very, very cocky right now and, you know, claiming he's going to dominate this division and they're, you know, headed to the Super Bowl, you know, all this stuff. And the Eagles have looked amazing in their preseason games. We'll get there in a second. But I can't be that way. I just know that it's like, man, one injury and who knows. And, you know, Romo goes down and that team is done. So, yeah, I love all that hubris. It's going to be really fun to see where Dallas goes this year. Kohler, tell us about Atlanta, Miami.
So our super fan Ron for Miami is pretty excited about this Miami defense, and he should be. I mean, they've looked pretty dominant in the first couple preseason games. Atlanta, who was kind of, I guess, has kind of been the darling of this podcast, especially Pod Vader. They didn't look too good on offense at the beginning of the game. A couple sacks on Matt Ryan. You know, when you add Sue to your defensive line, you just upgraded immensely, and so. Everybody else can get just a little bit better on that Miami defense because of that, and they've showed it. Now, he was, you know, he's as excited as saying that, I mean, he's comparing him maybe to the 85 Bears, that he's super excited. But part of that is because they don't get much run down there, and I understand that because being a Cleveland fan, all you ever hear is, you know, our backup quarterback. You don't hear anything else. So Miami not getting that kind of run, I think that's why he's just trying to promote it as much as he has been on Slack. But they looked pretty good. And then the other thing is for Atlanta, I don't think that they have a running back. You know, Devontae Freeman comes in a little bit and he looks bad. And then Kevin Coleman's the rookie. He comes in and he doesn't look real great either. He's not running against Big Ten defenses anymore. You know, he's in the NFL now and it's big boy football and he's having a tough time. So I don't know what's going on there with their running game. So they might just have to throw all the time because, you know, Julio Jones and Roddy White are pretty good.
Yeah, for sure. Ramona, what did you think of that game?
Yeah, Tim actually sent me, the super fan for the Atlanta Falcons, sent me his preview, and he also agrees with the running back that he's just like, he has no idea who the running backs will be. And I'm going, well, that's a problem, because Ryan does need a few of them. It, you know, he can only throw so much. I have Ryan on a couple of fantasy teams, so I'm super excited. I wanted to throw all day long, because I don't really care if they win. You know, I'm perfectly okay with him throwing it all day long. Like, throw, baby, throw. But if I'm Atlanta Falcons fan, I'm going to kind of stress out about that. And again, he is very frustrated with the O-line. He's just like, this is what he wrote to me. He goes, good God, this offensive line sucks. I mean, that's just his first word. I'm like, okay. So the Atlanta Falcons fan is a little upset right now. Oh, well, he'll get over it. You know, but he's claiming that the defense looked great. And that should be expected, though. It's Dan Quinn, for God's sake. So if the defense hadn't improved. But again, let's compare that defense to last year's defense. I mean, there was nowhere to go but up. So, you know, his saying, oh, it looks great. Well, yeah, let's compare it to what garbage it was last year. So I'm still kind of holding my breath. I know it's Pod Vader's boyfriends. And, you know, and I know that supposedly Tim is my favorite super fan, according to you guys. But at the same time, I'm just kind of waiting, going, I'm not completely sold on Atlanta, to be honest with you. I feel like, though, in that division, again, it's wide open now that Carolina is having so many injury problems, and the Saints seem to have forgotten that they like to play offense, and I'm not sure what Jameis Winston's doing. So it really is Atlanta's to lose, but just because that division is still so terrible.
Yeah, I agree. That is really interesting. It's like, yeah. As long as they can get ahead of New Orleans, right? Like, it's like that's it's these two teams that are falling apart or having trouble, I should say, for the past couple of years, although they have a lot of talent. It's like, who's going to take that division? One of those two teams. I'm honestly not that afraid of either of them. I think New Orleans was so strapped that they're having trouble getting a team going right now. And Atlanta, so a couple of weeks ago, Tim was much cockier on when we were, you know, battling back and forth on Slack. Our teams are going to play the Monday night opener against each other. And so, you know, obviously he's my first real opponent. It's someone we're already like starting to talk about that. And he was a lot more confident a couple of weeks ago. I think when I watched that game, the glaring hole is their offensive line. That offensive line is not doing well. As you said, Rob, they don't have a running back, and even no matter who it is, they're not getting through that line very well. And then Ryan's seeing a lot of pressure, and I don't know. I think they're going to have trouble. I don't want to get too cocky with our first game. Who knows what happens, but I think we're going to beat Atlanta. I would bet on us if I had to bet money. I think we will take that team down. Then the big test will be the next 2 weeks, Dallas. But moving on to the Jets and the Giants game, our Jets super fan wrote in and was saying that Ivory looked very good. He liked how Fitzpatrick was looking as well, which I did not see this game. That's a little surprising to me to see both of them doing well, but they were playing against the Giants defense, which is really, really in having some injury problems and is just not where it has been in the past. We think of that old Giants defense that got them those Super Bowls, and it's nowhere near what it used to be. He said that Muhammad Wilkerson really was getting great penetration up the middle. He was just coming back from some injuries. This was his first preseason game. So that's great to see. I love interior defensive linemen kicking butt. That is great. And Antonio Cromartie had a nice pick six to end the half. Our Giants superfan didn't write in, but I haven't seen this game. But I think the big story of the Giants is really, like, you know, like I said, the defense is not as strong as it has been in the past. And they have one of the brightest stars, the cover of Madden, Odell Beckham Jr. is there. And Eli Manning is waning, but he can still make some throws. And it's going to come down to how is that pairing and how does that do. I'm not that worried in our division that they're going to be one of the top teams. But as we know, they won two Super Bowls on 9-7. I totally see this team as a team that could go 9-7. I mean, that doesn't seem total, you know, crazy in any way. To imagine. I don't think they're going to take the division, but a wild card is possible, and I'll always have respect as long as Eli and Coughlin are there. Ramona, do you have any thoughts on the Jets and Giants? I know you obviously think about the Giants. What do you think about these two teams?
Eli looked like himself. He had a couple of those aw shuck moments that he has that I love so much. You know, he had a couple of those. Jets defense looked good. They look real, real good. So it looks like they're going to be more comfortable, which is good, because the first couple of games, and I think I made Hirsch mad when I was on your guys' podcast with them a couple of weeks ago, when I was like, on paper, you guys look great, but in the field, it's not looking so good. I think they're finally starting to settle in, which is going to be very important in their division as Miami offense is looking really, really good. And then again, you can't discount New England at all because of the simple fact that it is Belichick. Brady will come back. And then, you know, the Bills with their multiple, you know, mini quarterbacks that we don't know what they're going to be. It's going to be very important for the Jets to have a very solid defense to remain competitive in this division. But I don't feel like, you know, if you take away the whole whatever is going on with the offense and you look at that defense, they do look like a very solid team if they can just keep their positions well. And again, they don't get anybody injured. I think if you lose Cromartie or Revis, the season's done, pack it in, you might as well not even watch.
I agree. Kohler, any thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, the first game for the Browns is against the Jets, and so the Jets' defense looks pretty scary. Both Cleveland's offense and Jets' offense still look pretty rusty. So I think whatever you – if you're going to bet the line in Vegas, take the under. It's going to be a 6-3 game.
Speaking of Cleveland, tell us about your game against Tampa Bay. Did you guys did the factory of sadness have some happiness? How did it go?
Yeah, we did. You know, we always have some happiness during the preseason. There's always hope in Cleveland. That's the one thing we're good at is hope. The defense looked solid once again. So the first three games, they've looked solid, especially the first team. And so, you know, you're playing Jameis Winston, you're playing a rookie quarterback. So what do you do with that? You blitz. And so we had some really interesting blitz packages that we brought in. The defensive line is so solid that I think we're going to be able to dial up our blitzes this year, which will be great, and bring that pressure. The other thing that was interesting is that, you know, for the Cleveland Browns, just like the Falcons, still no running back. I was hoping that this week one of the three of Isaiah Crowell or Terrence West or the rookie that they picked in the third round, Duke Johnson, would step forward. Duke, who I was hoping would kind of win the role because he looks like a good three-down back and he can catch the ball out of the backfield. He got a concussion after one play or two plays. He ran one for 1 yard and then he caught a little screen pass and then got blasted. And so he had a concussion, so he's out for the rest of the game. So that kind of hurt. But overall, you know, they won 31-7. Josh McCown in a very Alex Smith type role. He's just trying to be a game manager, you know, had a couple good touchdown passes and against a good Buccaneers defense. The offense started to roll right in the beginning and then right towards the end of the first half. So 31-7 win looks pretty good. On the Tampa Bay side, you know, they just have a lot of growing to do. So their defense is still okay. And pretty good. Their front seven is pretty good, but you know, Jameis Winston's got a lot to learn coming in. So that's just kind of what they're going to have to sit through this year.
Yeah. I'm very curious to see how he develops. It's just interesting to see. Obviously, we're always going to compare him and Mariota. This is how it goes. They came in together. They're always going to be, you know, talked about how they each do it. But they're in very different situations. And, yeah, it'll be very interesting to see how they progress. Ramona, do you have any thoughts on these teams?
Yeah, I'm interested that Rob's so high on Duke Johnson. I got to see him play when Miami came to Virginia last year, and Virginia's secondary just stopped him. I mean, it was just there was no movement for Duke Johnson. I kept waiting to see where's this guy we keep hearing about, and it didn't happen. So I don't know if I'd be that great. I don't know if I'd want him to be my running back, to be honest with you. But
I don't know what kind of competition he played against, but he has more rushing yards at Miami than anybody, than more than like Edgerrin James, more than Frank Gore, more than Clinton Portis. So I don't know if it's just because he got so many years under his belt, but or they were just playing inferior competition. But he, you know, I mean, he's got those stats to back it up, and there was a reason he went in the third round. Now again, it's the Browns, so we've been
When he's facing like a decent defense, you know, I just wouldn't trust it.
Yeah.
It was interesting though to see once again Winston. Talking about staying within the ACC, I have said this, I've said it before, that, you know, everybody's like, oh, Jameis Winston, he looks so great. I'm like, yeah, but let's think about where he was playing. The ACC is not known for great football. I'm just going to flat out say it. They were the kings of the hill the last 2 years where he was playing. And, you know, when he faced real competition like Oregon, he looked ridiculous. I mean, he looked like a fish out of water. I mean, that's the only way I could say it. I mean, he was on the ground. It was just a mess. And I'm just not seeing him get comfortable yet, and I just am like, I think it's gonna be a long road for Tampa. I think eventually he'll get there. I think that as long as he works and Lovey can develop him, I think that he can be a good quarterback, but I'm not expecting great things out of them this year.
Tampa Bay has been bad for so long. Oh, go ahead, Kohler.
No, I just wanted to add one last thing about the Browns, because most people don't watch, you know, defensive line, but Danny Shelton, this first pick that we had at number 10. So if you ever get a chance to watch a Browns game, which most of you won't, but if you watch it, just watch him right up the middle. He is unbelievable.
Yeah,
they show Browns games on TV?
No, they're usually blacked out. It's the one game that's blacked out.
Oh, wow.
I'm so sorry.
I watched some of that. He looks amazing. He looks like a beast. He was one of those, when we were watching the Combine, Erica, my wife, was sitting there, and he was the one player that she was kind of watching all these guys in their spandex, you know, as they say, in their underwear doing their workouts. And she was like, look at that dude's thighs. And I was like, yeah, that's Danny Shelton. And kind of like telling her about him. But so she, like, he was the one guy that she physically picked out, like, that guy's different than the others. And yeah, you see it. That lower body strength, man. He can move people. He's like an ox. It's very impressive. So then this next game, we have Washington and Baltimore. Earlier this morning, I recorded the Washington preview with Ramona on her podcast, because our super fan was the one super fan we couldn't get. Drew, I have to give him this kind of an excuse. Drew was actually on vacation all week. So as Ramona was trying to reach out to him, I think he was off, you know, having cocktails and relaxing. What was that?
I wouldn't want to talk about the Redskins, honestly, to be honest with you. I don't blame
them. Oh, you do? Great. No, go for it, Ramona. I just wanted to say, this is an amazing thing Ramona's doing. What she's done is brought a lot of us super fans onto her show to preview all of our teams. Her podcast is amazing. You should all subscribe to it and listen to it. And please, if you go and hear the super fans on it. She did these things called Two-A-Days. Just about 10 to 20 minutes on each team. Some of the guys obviously go more off than others, but it's great just to kind of listen to them all. You can go through and they're just very digestible. You can listen to them very quick. And especially if you're coming up on a fantasy draft or something, a place you can check in real quick and just see how these different teams are doing and where they're at. So, break down this game for us. What did you think of the Washington-Baltimore game, Ramona?
Oh, Washington is Washington. I love how the delusional fans are. Can I go off on them in a minute? Can I rant like Tim?
Let
me be Tim for a minute. I live in Washington country. I live 3 hours away from Washington, D.C., so I'm surrounded by Redskin fans, and they're like gremlins. If you get them wet, they multiply. They don't seem to go away, and they just don't see how delusional they are. And the fact that I can sum up their entire season in this one sentence. Number one, until RG3 is either gone or Jay Gruden's gone, that marriage is never going to work. That's never going to survive. Then you got the racist owner who's keeping this name that we all know is racist, and then he's delusional in himself, and I'm just going, until all of this is fixed, and Bruce Allen, I know that his dad was like the be-all, end-all for the Washington Redskins for a zillion years ago. Stop living in the past. I almost feel bad for them. Almost. But then I laugh and I go, oh, hail to what, is what I say to all of them. I hear them say, oh, hail to the Redskins. Hail to what? You're not doing anything. You will be lucky to win two games this season. Two games, folks. So just buckle up. It is an awful team. I feel sorry for DeSean Jackson for being stuck there, because I'm not sure who's actually going to throw him the ball. And honestly, most coverages are going to cover him twice. Alfred Morris is a great back, and he's a waste on that team. It's just ridiculous. They have no tight ends. I would trade Kirk Cousins for a tight end immediately. They're not listening to me, so they deserve all the stuff they're getting. It's awful. Just don't watch Washington Redskins. I agree with Sam, the super fan from the Giants. He told me this on the Two-A-Day of my thing. He goes, if you draft any Washington players onto your team, it is bad karma. It is just bad karma in Washington right now. Just stay away.
Oh, I love it. I love it. What was really interesting about that game for me is that we totally, a week ago, just shut down Baltimore. They had on offense, defense, special teams, just like, shut up. You guys shut up. Yeah, I see you playing dirty, but just shut up. You got nothing. Your team is pathetic and behind ours. Good luck with your horrible season. But then they get to Washington, and they just turn around and go like, you know what, Washington? Shut up. Your team is horrible. They just shut them down on all phases and just totally did exactly what we had done to Baltimore. They just turned around and, like, kicked the dog. But watching that game was so hard. I was preparing to be on your podcast, and so I'm, you know, watching the game, and it's just – you know, I can't even – people always ask me, like, who's your big rival? Is it the Redskins? And it's been for years. It's like, no, like, you can't – no, they're never competitive. Like, they're never – it's been so long. I understand they had that one year with Shanahan that they were in the playoffs. But it's been so long, all of the vacuum around that. It's ridiculous.
They broke RG3 in that game. I mean, they broke their person.
Totally.
I'm like – just ridiculous. Their field's awful. Their fans are awful. Just no. No to Washington. Just no. I don't care if the Washington fans, and I could probably have my tires slashed tomorrow because I live in freaking Redskin country. Do not care. Ridiculous. And again, it is bad management. I actually feel bad because this is a great, it could be a great franchise, but they have an owner who is stupid. They just have an owner who's stupid, who's like, I have more money than everybody. Let me play fantasy football with my team. And he has messed up the team. Just awful. Just yuck.
Yeah, how do you get rid of an owner? I mean, I don't know. You know what I mean? Like, you hope his billions, like, dry up. You know what I mean? Like, I don't – you know, that's such a horrible place to be where your owner is bad and young, right? It's one thing to be, like, a Dallas fan, and if you don't like Jerry Jones, which I think a lot of them do, but I think he is part of the problem in Dallas often, him meddling with things. It's just like, at least he's going to be gone soon, you know? Or what's happening in Oakland is they're turning it around now that Al is finally gone, when you have that crazy owner who's way too much in the business than anyone else. I noticed that today. I was looking at an article, and there's no other owner that's, like, mentioned in headlines as much as Jerry Jones. It's like, it's crazy. But, yeah, there, it's like, he's young. Snyder's going to be there for 30 more years? 40 more years? Oh, God.
As an Eagles fan, I say let him reign. Just let him go, let him reign. No. As an Eagles fan, I love it.
Hail the Snyder. I was saying that on your podcast today, the thing I think is really funny is that they had the weirdest thing happen to them this week. They're going into the game, and they were told, I think, on Thursday that RG3 was going to clear the concussion protocol, and they're like, sweet. Then they'd been told this. Then they get a letter on Friday that's like, nope, he can't play, and it's actually pretty worse. You know, it was like bad, really bad news. And Gruden's like talking about this in a press conference. I don't even know why he talks, but he gets in front of a microphone and he's like, I know everyone thinks we're incompetent, but we're not incompetent. Like, this is the doctor doing this. And it makes me realize what's happening is, I think this is karma catching up with the Washington team for their name, is that now they are being treated how Native Americans were treated in this country when we really took this country from them. We're like giving them verbal promises. We're like, oh, yeah, he can play. And then we just do something else. And they're like, what? They did a switcheroo on us. Oh, man. And it's like, yep, you're Washington. You're Native Americans. That's right. That's what we do. Just so funny. That team's in trouble.
Did you see the article that broke a couple hours ago where now definitely the coaching staff, this doesn't surprise me now, the coaching staff is saying we want to get rid of RG3. And they, you knew immediately when Gruden came on, they wanted to get rid of RG3. And ownership's like, no, we want to keep him. And again, just the fact that that's getting leaked out just shows that there's just so many problems in Washington that are outside the field that until those problems get solved, the field product's going to be awful. So sorry, Redskin fans.
Yeah.
Just so sorry.
Yeah,
but not
sorry. In that same report, they said that they've been trying to get – they've had him on the trade block, but people are worried about his – he's got some kicker that if he gets injured, it's guaranteed $16.1 million this year. So that's been keeping people away from that trade.
Plus, the Redskins paid so much to get up there to get him. It's a mess.
I don't have a lot of faith in Fisher, you know, as a coach in St. Louis, but I love it. It was one of my favorite moves he ever did. The last time he played the Redskins, when they came out for the captains, he brought
awesome.
Out every single player that he acquired when they got RG3. And it was literally like a team of dudes walked out there and were just like, hey, look at all these amazing defensive players I have. How you doing, RG-knee? So good.
Can we just mention, though, the Fighting Harbaughs? John Harbaugh getting in a fight? With the coach, I mean,
yeah.
Now John
and
I mean,
didn't
like
Steve Smith get suspended or something or kicked out of the game?
Yeah.
I mean,
he got
over
and watched the rest of the game with
out.
Son from the sidelines in the stands.
Yeah, I love
it. Was amazing.
He went up into the stands, right? Yeah, I love it.
Yeah,
because it was like, oh, I'm off the clock. Sounds good. I'm getting a hot dog and a beer.
His son tweeted out,
"Beltway is just
NFL.
A dangerous place to be." Just basically the beltway between Baltimore and Washington is just dangerous. You know, I mean, just what can I say? It's Virginia, Maryland.
But giving Steve Smith some credit, he had an amazing catch and run for a touchdown. But it's against the total, you know, totally porous Washington secondary. But he had just an incredible out, caught it, put his foot in the ground, just ditched two defenders and ran easily untouched for a touchdown. He's a beast still. Mad respect for that guy. Steve Smith's great. And watching him getting in fights with Washington Redskins, again, thanks. That's great. So Chicago-Cincinnati. Kohler, tell us, how was this game? How was Chicago-Cincy?
Well, I was really excited about this game because Cincy, I think, is going to end up at the bottom of our division. I think the Browns actually beat them this year, but people are going to scoff at that and laugh. But watch Cincinnati's last preseason game. They looked absolutely atrocious. And this game, they didn't look any better, but just Chicago's really bad. I think that Chicago has not had an offensive touchdown the whole preseason. So that's a little scary. They're trying to turn Jay Cutler into kind of a game manager. He's throwing the ball away a lot more, which is probably good for him because he has a little bit too much Brett Favre in him where he tries to sling it in there. And so, but seeing them not have an offensive score yet in the preseason is just not good for Chicago fans. But like I said, Cincinnati just looks bad. I mean, both of these teams, it was kind of it was a win by attrition because Cincinnati just kind of almost like tumbled their way into the win. It was not good on either side.
Wow. Ramona, do you have any thoughts on those two teams?
Chicago. I just you talk about, again, a bad quarterback coach situation. But again, John Fox is a great coach. Eventually Cutler will leave and Tom Shannon, the super fan, will be super happy again because every time I talk to him, it's funny, the Bears preview launched today and I got a lot of emails from Bears friends of mine going, yes, he was right on. Cutler is a jerk. I think a friend of mine had a shirt that said, like, you know, drinking because Cutler's playing. And I was like, wow. So, you know, I mean, but again, it is what it is. I think that's interesting, Rob, what you say about Cincinnati. I almost agree with you. It's just that, you know, within the season, it does seem like Andy kind of gets himself together. It does seem like they can kind of pull out some wins. You know, if AJ Green stays healthy, they look really good. But, and again, because the Steelers defense seems to have, you know, evacuated, I don't know where they went. Maybe they're suspended for drug violations too. You know, there's a good chance that they'll beat them. So it's going to be interesting to see, you know, what happens when you guys face, but I don't trust the Cincinnati Bengals. I'm not putting any hard money on them. I love English Simon, but I'm just going, that coach is just not doing it for me. And the great red dragon or whatever we're calling him these days, just no, just, it's just a mess over there.
Yeah. It's like, you bring up a great point. I love Simon. He's a great super fan. I find that totally fascinating when you're from a different country and you're choosing a team that he chose the Bengals. That's just, just totally amazing.
We talked about that on my preview, how he chose it. He talks about it on my preview, how he chose it. So if you get to listen to the Bengals preview. Yeah.
Awesome. I will. I will check it out to hear that. I've been working my way through the NFC and, you know, obviously those are the teams that are our main competition, but I will get through the entire AFC as well. Yeah, Simon is always very charming and delightful and very funny. I like that guy a lot.
And very Australian.
Moving on to Philly Green Bay. Yeah, Ramona, you did an awesome job with Washington. Tell us about this game as well. What do you think?
Can I just say that I feel really bad that I've ever doubted Sam Bradford because perfection is sweet.
Yeah,
perfection is awesome. I think you and I were tweeting each other. I didn't get to actually watch the game live. I watched it on replay. And one of the things that I tweeted you, I don't know if you saw it, but I'm like, teams are going to get whiplash. We're going to get sued for whiplash, how fast we're going, just how fast we move. And it was interesting.
Sure.
I interviewed yesterday with Ron, the Dolphins superfan, and we were talking about Bill Lazor because he was the offensive coordinator originally when Chip Kelly came on for you know, the Eagles, which is interesting because he was actually University of Virginia's offensive coordinator, and then he left to go to the Eagles, and I don't blame him. But it was interesting. He goes, yeah, basically, like, Miami does the same kind of offense. It's just slower. I'm like, it's not the same kind of offense. What are you talking about? But I let him talk because I'm polite, but I'm going, are you delusional? Like, you know, did you get too much sunshine in Florida? No, I am super amped. I'm ready to go. I'm ready for week one. I'm ready for Monday Night Football. I'm ready to see Tim cry just sweet, sweet tears of just defeat as we go and we just stomp all over them. And then the next week with Dallas, oh, that's going to be awesome because Brian wants to come back on the podcast. I'm like, bring it on, kiddo. You know, I just think Murray's great. Our running backs look great. Our wide receivers look awesome. The defense is looking really good. And again, our guys, you know, I look at it this way. You know, the players don't do two-a-days anymore. You know, but we do. The Eagles do because we get so much time in because Chip's so smart. So I'm still cautious about Sam. I want them to protect his knees and please put whatever holy water, you know, whatever Russell Wilson is drinking to keep his, like, concussions away or whatever. Let's pour that all over Sam Bradford's knees because that may help. Yeah, I'm super excited for the season.
Yeah, it's been an amazing three games. I mean, we dismantled two AFC teams, the Colts, the Ravens. And then, unfortunately, we didn't get to face Nelson because of his injury, and we didn't get to face Rodgers because they're scared of us. I don't know. But we just totally dominated that game. Thurman's pick six, I mean, that is so great to see. And then, of course, Bradford, 10 for 10, three touchdowns. Are you kidding me? The one pass to Sproles, that is beauty. He had two corner routes. I mean, what's interesting with Kelly is he's running very simple plays. You can see it. I mean, you literally see plays come back up again, and he's just running the same plays. But he had this one where it's Matthews going on a corner route out to the left, and he hit it a couple times. But the one, if you watch it, when you see it from the normal angle, it's not that impressive. You watch it from the sideline angle, and the ball is – he's using Jordan's height. He gets it up. The corner's reaching out, and it's literally like – 8 inches from where the corner can reach it, just perfectly right there in Jordan's hands. I haven't seen placement. Like, McNabb would throw a pass like that once every couple games. He'd hit like a really, really, like, man, that was right on the money, like a perfect pass. But he wasn't that accurate. That definitely was not McNabb's strong suit. To watch him make that many touch, perfectly placed passes in a 10-pass window, I mean, we're all just ecstatic, and as long as Bradford doesn't get injured, I think we're going to really dominate. Our running game is looking amazing. Sproles looks amazing. It's just, oh, it's just awesome. Ertz isn't out there. Ertz is, like, chilling right now. He's going to be coming back. I have so many weapons. We're so healthy. I'm just excited. It's going to be a great year. Looking at Green Bay, I mean, it's hard without Rodgers to know what that offense is. Their defense has never been their strong suit. It clearly is still not. They had no answer whatsoever for us. So, yeah, Green Bay will be really interesting. I'm curious with this damaged offense, if it's going to be like the year a couple of years ago where Rodgers was out for a lot of the season, but at the end he came back and they still took a little run. I could see something like that where they kind of are limping this year without Nelson, not the dominant force they were before. Because without that defense, they don't have the defensive side. They're really one of those teams like the New Orleans Saints where they're just going to put up a lot of points and expect you to keep up with them, Dallas as well. And I just, this year, as we see Nelson goes down, I worry that they're not going to be able to put up enough points to run that kind of a team. Rob, do you have any thoughts on this game?
All I wanted to say is that, you know, everybody keeps bringing up Bradford's knee, and I think every single NFL team is one hit away from not having an offense. I mean, that you have a backup quarterback is a backup for a reason. I mean, any of these guys go down, Aaron Rodgers gets hit in the knee, and he's done. Green Bay season is done, too. So, I mean, I think it's just kind of, you know, he's been hit pretty hard. It's not like he was just walking down the street and his knee buckled and he, you know, tore his ACL. He's been in preseason 2 years in a row where he got smashed and lost his kneecap on one of them. So, you know, I think that caveat that everybody has for him is just foolish.
The other thing I noticed about this game, too, is, again, another injury for the Packers and Cobb. Now, it doesn't look as serious, but that's a real concern. You know, who is Aaron going to throw it to? As great as a quarterback he is, you know, they've already lost Jordy Nelson, which was hurtful for me because that was my second-round choice in the Blog Talk Radio League, and I'm kind of scrambling going, what am I I'm kind of ticked off about that, especially the way he injured it. I'm like, all you did was jump. What in the heck? You Lambo leap on that damn wall all the time. You can't – anyway. But now Cobb down, you know, we're almost to the start of the season. This is not a good sign for the Packers right now, and especially with the Lions looking as good as they are right now in offense. That's what I'm saying. Like, I'm leaning more towards Detroit. As Adam, the super fan, told me on my preview, you know, there's room on the bandwagon train for Detroit. I could see a lot of people jumping on that.
No, for sure, for sure. Kohler, tell us about Seattle, San Diego.
This was a pretty boring game. I mean, it was 16-15, and it was pretty much all field goals. There was one punt return. Tyler Lockett, who looks pretty good, he has two returns now in the preseason for touchdowns. He had a punt return where he started one way, cut back, and there was just a huge lane. And he didn't even get touched. Besides that, it was all field goals. Steven Hoschka hit a 60-yard field goal to end the game, so Seattle won 16-15, which is pretty impressive. A 60-yard field goal is pretty impressive. But I'd be worried if I'm Seattle's offense. I know they haven't really had everybody out there. You know, they kind of know what they have. But Jimmy Graham doesn't look necessarily on the same page as Russell Wilson. They had a couple passes that didn't go their way. So, you know, that'll take some time for them to get the timing right. And then Melvin Gordon finally played for San Diego, and he looked okay. He had a couple runs. I think his longest was though was like a 7-yard run. So, you know, he needs a little bit more work, obviously, as a rookie coming in. But I think they're going to try and put a lot on him with Phillip Rivers getting a little bit older. And, you know, only Keenan Allen on the receiver side for San Diego.
Mm-hmm. What did you think, Ramona? Did you see any of this?
I didn't, but, you know, I think it's interesting. You know, when the San Diego Chargers were really good, it was when they had a dominant back in LaDainian Tomlinson. So I'm wondering if Melvin Gordon can kind of fit in that role. Maybe not as significant as LT was, but they seem to have done – they did really well when Phillips when Rivers had that, you know, extra back. The other thing I'm still curious about is with the Legion of Boom. Number one, Cam Chancellor is still withholding. He has not played. That is a huge – huge loss for that team, and especially with an upstart St. Louis around. Very concerned about that. And then also, they're still plagued with injuries from last season with that Legion of Boom. So, you know, is the LOB going to be as dominant as it has been in the past? And also, we've now dealt with them for the last couple years. Their key, you know, defensive mind, Dan Quinn, is now in Atlanta. So is it going to be the same? So these are the kind of things that I'm kind of going, I'm not so sure that Seattle should be like the team to watch for in the NFC West. I really feel like my sights are set on St. Louis.
Wow, very interesting. I do see it's, you know, they signed the big contract with Russell. Is this already, are we seeing the window close on Seattle? Is it that fast in the NFL? The team that was able to go and win the Super Bowl, then get back to the Super Bowl and barely lose it, is it already, are we going to see decline? I mean, obviously, the only way not to is they get back to the Super Bowl. So we're going to see some decline, but is it the beginning of a longer trend where they will just have trouble keeping it together because of that, as I always talk about, the big contract with the quarterback really puts limits on what you can pick up and build around. And a lot of times, you know, you can push money forward. And there's a lot of ways to trick with that. But bottom line, we see all the time that once that quarterback gets that really big contract, it becomes more and more difficult to keep a team together. So, yeah, moving on to Indianapolis-St. Louis, I watched this game. Luck can throw. I mean, these are things we already know. That offensive line is a little frightening in front of him, but he throws the ball well. He knows what he's doing. He had a beautiful pass to Hilton, just incredible, where Hilton got a little bit on his guy down in the end zone. He throws it just before the safety can get there, but Hilton couldn't hold on to it. It was a tough catch, not to like pick on Hilton, but just an incredible throw. He had another touchdown later in the game that was well placed, you know, great play. The St. Louis D looks pretty impressive. I mean, we know that D line is strong. I was really looking at the secondary and the linebackers because I'm less familiar with them, but they looked great. Great is a strong word. They look solid. They look like a real defense. Obviously, Luck was moving the ball on them a little bit. They fumbled a kickoff return, St. Louis, and that scares me. If that was the Eagles, I would be furious. I don't want to see anything like that, especially if that's the real kick returner. It's one thing if it's some backup, but this was the first kick, so I'm sure this kid is up for something. And he dropped the ball. The Colts got the ball right back and went down, and, yeah, it's just not good. You can't do that. Foles looks decent. He doesn't look amazing. He's no Sam Bradford, but he didn't look bad.
How quickly did you switch our loyalties?
Yes, exactly. His knees look better than Bradford's, I guess. But he didn't look bad. I like Foles. I don't have anything wrong with him. I think he will be fine in this league. He's going to be more like the Alex Smith, or in the best case, the Roethlisberger, because he does have a decent arm. But he's never going to be super accurate. He's never going to be, you know, just like the game winner. But he's a big boy. He's tough, and he's smart, and he's passionate. He's going to work hard. I think he's kind of, in a lot of ways, a poor man's Mariota in a way, just kind of like not the best version of all that stuff because he doesn't have all the perfect skills and gifts. But he's going to do the best he can, and I think he's a good guy. I wish him the best. Rob, do you have any thoughts on that game?
Yeah, the only thing I saw on that was that Trey Mason got hurt. He injured his hamstring in the first quarter, and I'd be a little scared. I was on the Rams bandwagon, as like Ramona was, but they need him to bridge the gap until Gurley can come back from his ACL that he tore in college. I think Gurley's going to be a beast, just from what I saw in college, and I hope that he can do it in the NFL, but they need Trey Mason there for the first couple games because they're easing Gurley back into it before they put him on full force and he puts a slam down on the rest of the NFL.
And the worst timing, right? You see a hamstring right now. It's something that can linger.
Yeah.
It's never good to see.
Mm-hmm.
How long – do we know how long he's going to be out, Gurley, until the ACL is fine and he's able to play? Do we know what the time frame is on that?
Yeah, I've heard that he'll be ready by game one, but they're going to ease him back, so he won't get, like, full load until game 3 or 4, but that's just
– Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That early. Yeah, I didn't know that. I thought it could be possibly mid-season. Yes, yes.
Especially for a rookie.
Sure.
You know, I just new offense and, again, new quarterback, too, with that team.
Yeah.
You know, there's always going to be some. Again, let's look at, for example, Brady. I hate to bring him up, but if he's like kind of like a bellwether quarterback where we're like, you know, he's the standard and he's where you want to be, he's having trouble with his brand new people. So imagine you've got a brand new quarterback to a system and you got this rookie. That's some problems.
Yeah.
But again, that defense is phenomenal. And again, maybe it's because I adore Chris Long so ever much, because again, I will mention UVA all day long just to make Rob annoyed. just this week, though, because UCLA is going to trounce us. It's going to be awful. But
yeah, I'm not saying anything, you notice.
Yeah, because you're really smart. But, you know, Chris Long is ridiculous. And everybody forgets he got injured very early last season. So the Rams were without him. They've got an amazing defense, and Jeff Fisher can really utilize that defense. Again, with the offensive questions with the 49ers, because we're not sure who plays anytime because they seem to lose players every week. And then again, Carson Palmer can't finish the whole season. And then we're not sure what's going on with Seattle. I think Seattle will be fine offensively, you know, once Graham and Russell Wilson can get their stuff together. But that's what I'm saying. I think the Rams could maybe not win the whole division, but they could sneak in with a wild card. They really could. The schedule's pretty good. Other than them playing the AFC North, I like them.
Hmm. Staying in the NFC West, Rob, the San Francisco game against Denver, what did you think?
Oh, this was I'm getting breaking news. Another 49er got arrested for domestic violence. Oh, and another one retired. That team is imploding. They are imploding. They had, I think, like 7 plays with Kaepernick in the first quarter of passing, and they had minus 33 yards passing. He was running for his life. The other thing that was interesting there was that San Francisco's defense actually did look pretty good, though. With Navarro Bowman back, he had 2 sacks. He was making Manning run all over the place. And like I said in the beginning of this podcast, that Manning over 15 yards is not very accurate. There was a funny play during the game where Denver was driving, and he way underthrew Demaryius Thomas in the end zone, and the defensive back for the San Francisco intercepted the ball, fell down, did not get touched, and got up as a celebration and threw the ball in the air. And so Demaryius Thomas almost recovered it for a touchdown, but luckily Antoine Bethea knocked it out of bounds, but it was pretty funny that the Akbar guy who intercepted it, he almost screwed the pooch on that one.
That's amazing. That's amazing. Do you have any thoughts on that game, Ramona?
Again, 49er fans, it's interesting. It's fun now that I'm getting towards the end of the two-a-day series that I've spoken with a lot of the super fans, and Charlie, the 49er super fan, is still like really high on his team. I mean, he's realistic of what's going on, but you know, with the news about the whole sexual assault investigation now with Ahmaud Brooks kind of being out, you know, he's concerned about that. I will look at, again, to bring up UVA, they do have Eli Harold, who was amazing, and I miss him very much because he's phenomenal. I mean, he finished his career with like 141, you know, tackles and God knows how many sacks. So he's going to look really good and kind of step in. But, yeah, I just that team, I just wonder what – yeah, I think honestly, if I could choose like a Hard Knocks to go to, it would have been the 49ers or the Washington Redskins. Either one would have been better than the Texans.
Well, the
no,
great
sure.
thing
that
is that Ahmed Brooks, that happened at the same party that Ray McDonald got in trouble for. That must have been some party. Man, I mean, I would have liked to have had some camera on that thing.
They must not have taken Chris Carter's Fall Guy seminar.
No, not at all.
What do you guys think of Denver? Ramona, what do you think of Denver? Do they have any chance this year? Is Eli going to get – is Peyton going to get tired again, get hurt? What do you think?
You mean old man Peyton? I don't know. I mean, you know, every time I say that he's down and out, he, like, does something ridiculously amazing. Like, I mean, like, basically God said, I shall make a quarterback, and he shall be the Manning boys, and here you go. And just when you think they can't do something, look what they do. They can win Super Bowls and rip them right out of Patriots' hands, which is – I don't know if I like or dislike, because I don't really like either team for obvious reasons. And then there's Peyton, who is awesome. And And I do love Demaryius Thomas. I think he's phenomenal. But is there enough? Is there enough? But again, that division is so, like, kind of in flux. They almost remind me of the AFC, the NFC South, excuse me, where, you know, we've got, like, I just don't know if they're going to have enough to get through. Even if they get into playoffs, will they win? You know, I feel like they've gotten stuck with Peyton Manning, and it's like they don't want to let it go. But then who's left? What other quarterback is there? You know, I'm sure Washington be like, here, take RG3. There you go. So that would be interesting.
Yeah, I wonder if they can pull the Colts move, right, where right when he leaves, they fall apart and they can get their good quarterback, or he gets hurt in the season, they fall apart and they can draft their good quarterback and just be right back on top. But, yeah, they are in a weird predicament with him. If he – I don't know if this is true yet, but if he truly can't last the season, you do have to think about moving on. I mean, that is not something – it's. I feel the same way about Carson Palmer. If you can't last the season, I mean, yeah, we got to do something else. So, guys, we're coming up to the last couple games. These are the games today. Earlier, we had Houston versus New Orleans. I wasn't able to see this game because it was happening while we were getting ready for this, so I wasn't able to actually see it. But it looks like Hoyer's doing well, 7 for 11, 82 yards, not much work, but he looks all right. Looks like the running backs are not running well for Houston. Everybody looked like they were averaging about 2 yards a rush. So, that looked ugly just looking at it stat-wise. Breeze looked fine, 4 for 6 for 40. I wonder why so little. I'm very curious. I've not seen a lot of the Saints in this offseason, but I'm very curious to see how they are. Ramona, do you have any thoughts on these two teams, Houston and New Orleans?
Yeah, I did see this game. Again, I question again, who is Breeze going to throw to or give the ball to, because he has no weapons left. I don't care what Chase, the superfan, says. There are no weapons in New Orleans right now. The offense is like, what? Like, who that indeed? Because I'm like, who that is going to, who's going to catch the ball? So that they have problems. And the defense, I'm sorry, didn't look that great because, I'm sorry, Houston is not known for offense right now. It's interesting because I have been watching Hard Knocks, and the defensive player that they wanted to switch to running back, well, Bill O'Brien put him in as running back, and he did actually almost score a touchdown. And it was funny because all the defensive players came out to celebrate him. But unfortunately, there was a hold on Houston, so it got called back, and he didn't get that touchdown. But I thought that was interesting. You know, the defense for the Houston Texans looked really good. But again, it's one of those things where, is that enough? And I don't know. Brian Hoyer is the right answer for them. I think, you know, I trust Bill O'Brien. I think he's a great coach, and I think they're going to have a good future in Houston. I just don't know if this is the year.
Yeah. With New Orleans, that's a perfect example of what I was talking about earlier, with a team where you have the big quarterback locked up. You've won the Super Bowl, and ever since then, it's just been downhill. You can't get it together. And the perfect example of that is when you're trading away your best weapon for a first-round pick, because you clearly need to dump cap, and you need to pick up cheap dudes that are good that you can have on your team. I'm very curious if Sean Payton's going to be able to get that team turned around before Drew Brees has to go, because he's a great quarterback. He makes great plays, but he, too, is close to the edge now. He's getting older. I'm very curious to see how that will all go. Rob, do you have anything to add there before we move on to our final game?
I mean, New Orleans defense is just going to be bad again this year. And I'm going to disagree with one point that Ramona made. I think Brandon Cooks especially if you're drafting for fantasy, that's the guy to get. He's going to score a lot. He was out for the second half of last year, but he catches everything that comes his way. And so I do think they do have him as a weapon. But again, you know, it's just one weapon, and their defense is going to keep them from winning a lot of games.
Yeah, that was
Rob
the problem
Ryan,
last year.
Man.
They only had one rep in, you know, with Jimmy Graham, and everybody knew the number, so they couldn't score any points. I mean, so
yeah,
that's ineffective. That is so ineffective. And again, I am very spoiled because I have lots of weapons on my team. Like, it's a buffet of places to place balls for Sam Bradford. Where shall I give it to? You know, so
yeah,
many options so quickly, and by the time you realize who got the ball, he's already scored a touchdown. So, you know, I'm over here in this land, so I don't think New Orleans has got this year.
One of our best weapons is the weapon they unloaded the year before when they couldn't, you know, they also couldn't pay for Sproles, and they traded him to us for a first-round pick. That's an incredible steal. He has been so good for us, both as a punt returner, and he's just incredible out of the backfield on third down. I know Breeze misses Sproles. There is no question of that. So, yeah, moving on to this last game, Arizona versus Oakland. How was the sadness game? How did this look?
This is just putrid. This is, I mean, I don't know why. Even as a Browns fan, I'm saying that. both of these offenses look horrible. It's 15-10 right now. T. Richardson just broke off a nice little 20-yard run while we're talking, but there's two interceptions by Carson Palmer's thrown two interceptions. David Carr threw one that was one of the most ill-advised passes I've seen this year so far, where he just kind of threw it right to a Arizona Cardinal who returned it 81 yards for a touchdown. That's the only touchdown in this game, and it's 15-10. Oakland has 5 field goals from Janikowski. So, yeah, we'll just leave that. Oh, and Christian Ponder's in now. Awesome.
Oh, my God. Really? He's still around?
Yeah, I didn't even know he was still in the league.
Wow.
Oh, that's incredible.
I got a question for Rob, since he's actually watching the game. Do you like the pairing of Cooper and Carr? Do you think that's going to work for Oakland?
I do. Cooper has looked pretty good. So the passes that they've been able to get to him, he's looked good. And he's got a stride. It reminds me a little bit of Terrell Pryor in college, where he doesn't look like he's running fast, but then he runs by you. So he looks pretty good. And Derek Carr has been able to hit him, I think, 3 times here so far. But the problem is I don't like Crabtree on the other side. Growing up, Mark and I both grew up in the Bay Area, and so we know a lot of 49er fans, and I know a lot about the 49ers. Just watching Crabtree those past couple years, he doesn't have any separation. So him on the other side is not gonna cause you to cover him too badly. And so I think they're going to be able to double on Cooper, and it's going to be tough for him in the beginning.
Yeah, man, I'm very curious about Carson Palmer. I just want to see if he can hold up. Last week, I said this thing on the podcast last week, but I watched, he gets sacked, and I'm just like, literally like, oh man, is he going to make it through this game? Then he gets up and it's like 40-yard bomb, gets the first down when it's like 3rd and 30, and then it's like post for 25 yards, post for a touchdown, and you're just like, wow. Like when he plays well and he's not on the ground, he's a real quarterback. Like he looks Peyton-esque. He looks like that kind of big statue who's able to just like launch the ball exactly where he wants it. But, you know, I just worry about him staying healthy. We'll see how that team goes. So that's about it, guys. We hit all those games. That's a lot. Thank you guys so much for helping us with that. Ramona, so your show, tell us, where can we find it? Where can these guys follow you? What's the best way to get to you?
Sure. So it's on Blog Talk Radio. So blogtalkradio.com/sportsgalpal. I'm on iTunes, Stitcher, all those places. You can listen to it on my website at sportsgalpal.com. And of course, you can follow me on Twitter at sportsgalpal, as most of the super fans have. Just be warned, during college football season and basketball, I will be tweeting a lot about the University of Virginia. Again, I'm going to drop it as many times as I can because Rob's on the podcast. So I do talk a lot about that. But really, the whole show is designed to, it's very similar to what you guys do, only I get to talk about all sports, not just you guys, and really just the stories of why fans are crazy. And it's really designed to help particularly wives understand their husbands and why we're crazy and why we want to, you know, do fantasy football or sit in front of a TV no matter what happens to our team, good or bad. And we must watch every game, because I know that the coaches can hear me when I'm screaming at them like, don't do that or don't draft that guy, because I know it's true. Again, it's blogtalkradio.com/sportsgalpal, and episodes come out Mondays and Thursdays now, so I'm 2 days a week like you guys.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Ramona. It's awesome to have you on. You did an awesome job. You know, you were just such a pro. We appreciate you bringing all the super fans over and doing your show. That is great. And you're welcome on anytime, please, Ramona. I will reach out to you, you know, at times. But if you want to be on, please, if there's a big game or you want to say something, you want to talk to our super fan for the Cowboys, you let me know if you want to talk some trash. I'd love to have you on anytime. It's really a pleasure. And Rob, thank you, man, as well. Rob, do you have a tweet or anything, like a Twitter handle? Where can people find you?
Yeah, they can find me at Fletch2198. And I just want to let everybody know that on Saturday at 3:30, I will be watching my Bruins manhandle the Cavaliers on Saturday coming up. So get ready.
Nice. Cavaliers playing Cleveland. We are Wahoos, by the way, so get it right. We may officially be Cavaliers, but call us Wahoos, okay? If you're going to beat us, and you will, make sure you get the name right so that you can do hashtag Who's and everybody knows, yeah, we know we suck. It is true. It's going to be bad. But Rob is a gentleman and let me get away with my trash talking. However, the rest of the super fans have been so great. And by the way, I didn't mention this, but there will be a best of episode of my super fans on September 10th. It's the opening day for football. And I've got clips that have not been aired yet, including some interesting things. So there's been some controversy, and Pod Vader's been stirring this up, and I know you boys have been talking about it. supposedly there's something called Flirt Gazi floating around the Slack group. So we're going to address that.
Good. We are going to address. Yeah, we want to hear all about that. And I hope there's some things on there that is great. I hope there are some things recorded in there that you can bring extra enlightenment from about all these super fans. Thank you guys both so much. We are closing off now. We will see you next on Thursday. Pod will be hosting a show that previews the final week of preseason. We'll be talking a lot about those second and third round players, the bubble guys for each team, who has a chance to really make it on an NFL roster this weekend coming up. Really an exciting time for a lot of these guys. If they were us, it would be everything. You know, if you worked your entire life to get on a team and they finally have that chance, it really is exciting, even though a lot of us don't watch at all because we're so excited for the real season to start. For those kids who are out there playing, it's an amazing game. We'll talk about those players who are on the fringe of each of our rosters. And then my next show next weekend, we'll be doing predictions for each of these teams, all the divisions, who's winning the Super Bowls. We'll be able to look at all these super fans, what they think. I'm sure everyone has themselves winning their divisions. But we'll see how that all goes down. Until then, Thursday and Sunday, we'll see you guys later. Thank you so much.